At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 193 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns this time out to preview the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Of course, as always, I'm joined by JB183. How are we doing, sir?
Good, yes. It's going well. A week into my new job. I can't remember if I spoke about that last week. I think I did.
I think you did.
But yeah, work from home all day, you know. Loving life. Got my own office. Got the artwork behind me. Didn't even tell Matt about that, but that's new for this week. So yeah,
What artwork is it? Is it new artwork or is it the same artwork you used to have just in a new place?
Well, I haven't bought anything new, but it might be different than what was in my background before. But we've got Nico
Fair
Rosberg,
enough.
We've got Nico Hülkenberg, we've got Giancarlo.
Oh
Fisichella.
No, I thought this was the same.
And we've got
so many mid drivers.
And we've got the coolest thing, which has never been in my background because it's always been above my monitor, but now I put it behind me, is the Belgium track map thing, which I like a lot.
Fair enough. Like, well, there we go. That's Jamie's room tour. There you go. Perfect. Exactly what we needed as we go into this one. But yeah, obviously today is probably going to be a little bit of a shorter show. And I'm sure, hopefully, many of you remember the podcast we did a couple of weeks ago from Italy with the preview show there. And we kind of said about how Antonelli was signed, even though technically he hasn't signed. But we got it right. We're having to do it again today because we're talking in the future because we're recording this on Monday. The podcast will go live on Tuesday. But between now and then, Adrian Newey's going to be announced, but we already know he's going to, or we're 99% sure he's already, we know he's announced already. It's, again, yeah. Formula One in 2024.
Yeah, yeah. And the BBC have reported that he's going. So they never report stuff falsely.
Benson does nothing unless it's basically guaranteed. The one I was more thinking about is Sky. Have you seen this?
No.
So Sky have got a TV show running for an hour and 15 minutes from 10:45 tomorrow morning to midday with announcement from Aston Martin. And in the description on the guide for that video, it says about Newey's confirmation.
Wow. Well,
so it is confirmed, basically.
They've clearly signed a good NDA, haven't they, Sky?
Oh, clearly down at Sky. I mean, I just don't think they care, to be honest. What are Aston Martin going to do?
No, exactly. I'm confused where the money's coming from because is it the top three salaries?
Personnel, yeah.
Are not included in the
top
cost
three
cap.
Personnel.
You've got to think Alonso's in the top three.
Well, is the drivers included in those top three or is it top three personnel excluded?
Maybe it is excluding drivers, in which case that makes more sense because obviously they've got a lot of well-paid staff, but they've not got like, it's not like a Mercedes level of leadership team.
Yeah.
Given that Lawrence Stroll probably isn't on a salary because he's the owner.
He won't be.
I can't remember who else is even there anymore. They keep changing. It's
Dan Fallows
is the top guy, isn't he? And who's the
I mean, you'd think they've basically poached Red Bull's aerodynamic team that obviously has basically put Red Bull in a situation to dominate over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And now suddenly those people have left. Red Bull aren't now dominating.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to think. Since Newey's left, that was just before Miami, wasn't it? And that was literally the instant. Obviously, Newey's influence is not a race-by-race basis, but it can't have helped.
I think that was more coincident, wasn't it? Because it's still about the cross-balance of the brakes, isn't it? The rear pressure valve or something.
Yeah.
And the Red Bull have been told not to use anymore. But, I mean, there's two things that I think are basically guaranteed in the near future from now. Aston Martin get back to winning ways. Whether Alonso's still at the team by then or not, I don't know.
Be Verstappen by then.
And it probably will be Verstappen by then. And more importantly than that, Aston Martin will be penalised heavily for breaching cost cap,
like financial
fair play.
In a way, yeah.
Potentially. It's going to happen.
potentially.
He's absolutely going to have. But Lawrence Stroll doesn't care.
Like, fair play to Lawrence Stroll. He means business, and he wasn't joking when he bought Racing Point and was like, we're going to make him boss, because that was getting on for 10 years ago now. No, it wasn't. 6 years. 7 years.
6 years ago? You mean you're not far away?
Yeah, to be fair.
6 years.
And then given that the next rule cycle is in 2016, so by then, yeah, they're going on for a decade of ownership, and to be fair, they've taken him from, like, midfield, like, towards the back of the midfield, right? Well, preemptively, if they get Newey, get Verstappen, Dan Fallows is there, you know, could they? They'll definitely be in that front pack, in my mind.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, you say that about Aston Martin, though. I mean, they're what, fifth currently in the standings, aren't they?
They're gonna be fifth,
and
probably.
In Europe, I don't know whether you saw this. In Europe, they scored less points than Haas.
They did.
Which I think is incredible.
But that's mostly only down to Nico Hülkenberg, who is the best driver out of it.
No. Well, not only down to Nico Hülkenberg. Magnussen's also scored points. But
scored 2 points.
A large part of that was
four
Nico
points
Hülkenberg
in that time. I think.
But it is kind of mad, isn't it? Just how much Aston Martin ebb and flow.
Yes.
More than seemingly any other team.
Even in 2022, when they started the season, they were like the back markers. And then by the end, they were again the fourth or fifth fastest car. It was like,
yeah,
and then obviously last year they started as probably the second or third fastest car.
Second early and on. Well, Ferrari on their day.
And ended up fifth or sixth again. It's like, well, what is going on here? But they've got to find their rhythm eventually. Obviously, the team formerly known as Jordan has always been punching above its weight. And now they've actually got weight. It's like, well, what are they going to do with it?
Yeah, what are they going to punch? It's like going on for an evening meal with Jos Verstappen. You never know what they're going to punch.
Could it be the waiter? Could it be the...
Dude, let's not go there.
Yeah, I'll stop there.
Oh, dearie me. But I mean, yeah, it's... I mean, we've kind of known this was going to be coming, haven't we, for quite a while. In terms of Newey signing. And of course, obviously, it was always going to be between sort of Aston Martin and Ferrari. I still am never quite sure. I'm guessing Mercedes were never really interested, because obviously we all know it's so well reported about, and this isn't kind of meant in a negative way, about how much control Newey likes to have. You know, why he's been successful with Red Bull, why he left McLaren all those years ago and things like that. You know, it was just kind of about having that control. And it kind of feels like, you know, if you're an Aston Martin and Dan Fallows is kind of leading the way, he'll already be aware of how Newey operates.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get the sense probably isn't too worried about operating underneath him again. If you're Ferrari, though, on the other hand, the politics are going to wind you up so badly if you're a Newey, and you're not going to get the best out of him. So I think, sensibly, as much as I wanted to live on, you know, sort of Ferrari hopium and things like that, it is the move that makes the most sense for Adrian Newey, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
But is it going to be the last team he ever is part of? Is this now his last move?
It depends how it goes, I think. You look at his time at McLaren, and wasn't that only about 4 or 5 years? It certainly wasn't one.
97 to, I think,
2005.
Yeah.
So I guess, so, what, seven, eight years, yeah. So, you know, that McLaren marriage didn't last very long, mostly because they didn't give him what he wanted, basically. They weren't willing to, like, completely overrule the whole structure of the team. I think if this goes well at Aston Martin, it probably is his last move. If it doesn't go well, who knows? Maybe he gets that itch to work in Maranello at some point down the line, because yeah, he said in his autobiography the career regrets were not working with Fernando Alonso, not working with Lewis Hamilton, and not working with Ferrari. So clearly he's chosen Alonso over Hamilton, because I don't think he'll ever get the chance to work for Hamilton now, given that this is
work for
the
Hamilton
thing, Aston.
But it's a 3-year deal, isn't it? Apparently £35 million a year, which is, let's be fair, if you're just sitting around with pencils doing doodles all day, it's not a bad paycheck to
work.
Oh,
yeah. Do you want to have a go?
not to doubt. I reckon I could do it. I reckon Adrian Newey and I are on a pretty similar level.
Yeah,
But, I mean, you say about that, I think the big thing here, which we're not talking about, first of all, you know, we kind of mentioned it in the beginning, Max Verstappen.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know once Alonso's gone? First of all, because the way I can kind of picture this going when you talk about Verstappen is there could be pressure from, obviously, first of all, Lawrence Stroll, because if they're then in a situation where world titles now are not only kind of a pipe dream, but viable and should be happening. How much is he going to say it's going to be Lance winning those titles? Second of all, Honda, are they going to be turning around going, well, you want Lance winning those world titles? Let's be fair, Yuki's going to give him a better shot at that than Verstappen is. And third of all, how is that going to affect Nui if he feels he's doing the best work he can
and, you got
and he's watching Lance Stroll crashing it constantly? Tsunoda, I don't think, would be as bad, but
neither of them
Stroll,
are,
if he's stacking it.
Neither of them are elite level compared to Verstappen's and Hamilton's and Norris, are they? Like,
I think you give Yuki enough time in a in an environment where he's comfortable. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he's suddenly going to, you know, win 8 world titles or anything like that. But I think he could end up being on a level kind of similar to, you know, when we talk about like a Jensen Button.
Yes.
Or a Nico Rosberg.
But
probably,
that's the thing.
You know, the right place at the right time.
For, like, consistent delivered world championships, like, if you've got, say you've got a lineup of Stroll and Tsunoda, that car has to be probably 3/10 a lap faster than the nearest competitor.
In I order would argue to, more than
probably
that.
More than that. If you imagine you've got Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton driving the next fastest car, they've got half a second, or at least 0.3 seconds on Stroll and Tsunoda. So you've got to build a car that's like ridiculously dominant to even win the championship.
Well,
so to do that year
I'm
on year,
to
it's going to be very hard.
Well, this is what I'm trying to compare it to, because the way I kind of see this going is, you mentioned obviously Newey at McLaren. I'm thinking before then, Nui at Williams,
or Leighton House,
where they had some. Well, you're not. But what I mean, obviously, is that you've got two drivers there that clearly aren't on the same level as Michael Schumacher, that get a couple of world titles out of it.
Mm.
But you know, Nui is always, since he was never happy with the way kind of Williams made driver choices and things like that. You know, they could have had star drivers and absolutely dominated, like they did with the FW14B with Mansell. But instead you end up with, Hill and Jacques Villeneuve and things like that, where you're sacking them as they win world titles and things like that. It's, that's kind of the way, you know, people kind of are talking about this going, it's perfect, you know, it's going to happen now. But there's examples from Newey's past where, you know, you kind of think from the driver's side of things, maybe not perfect. And let's not forget as well, he really debated leaving Red Bull in 2014, after 2014.
Mm.
When it was quite clear that the Renault power units weren't up to the snuff of Mercedes. And he kind of thought, maybe I'll go to Ferrari, you know, deal with a factory program and try and get everything out of a car that then at least it's in-house, the engines aren't delivering. If Honda show up in 2026 and they've taken a step backwards as well, you know, he might just call it a day.
Yeah, I think he'd give it at least a year.
But, no, he would.
I get what you mean. I do get what you mean. And yeah, I do think that, if, say, the Aston Martin was the fastest car, you maybe wouldn't even tell unless the driver next to Stroll was someone considerably
An Alonso, a Verstappen, a Hamilton, that kind of thing still.
The,
you know,
the way F1 is these days, you're not going to get a team that is ridiculously faster than everyone else. I think the RB19 last year was clearly, statistically, the most dominant car in history, but it definitely wasn't the fastest compared to the rest of the field. It's just they operated team and driver on such a high level that it was made to look
better. Yeah, you kind of had a perfect storm and dodgy rear brake bias or something.
And cost cap. But but I don't think that RB19 was like half a second a lap quicker than the rest of the field. No way.
Well, you look at the Williams, again, you sort of go back, you know, talking about Newey, that FW14B, in terms of actual raw pace, is still the most dominant F1 car of all time. The gap between that and second place was, you know, it on some tracks now is twice the size of
the entire
grid, or excluding Sauber, of course, this year.
Even at Austria, I think the whole grid was within a second, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It is. You know, I think people are kind of just saying that Newey now, it's kind of decided that they're going to win world titles. But when you look through history, especially kind of Newey's history inside the sport, it's not quite guaranteed still, is it?
It's not quite. They're always going to end up near the front, though, I think.
Oh, I would be surprised if they take a step backwards, unless, you know, the Honda power unit is terrible or something like that. But let's not forget as well, of course, you know, you kind of say about how no team's going to be dominant. First year of new regs do open it up. don't they?
Yeah.
It kind of feels like it goes one way or the other. It either ends up with one team dominating, or suddenly you've got two or three teams that are right there in the fight.
Yeah, yeah. We look at 2009 and you had like the accidental closest grid ever when they were trying to just make rules simple, and then like the whole grid was within like,
but simple cars are the best ones
for
racing.
Yeah,
it is. It's just the way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully there's not another 2014/2022 situation.
Well, 2022, yeah. I was thinking more the other way. You know, Ferrari should have been there more than they were,
I guess,
in the end.
It's just a bit of a self-destruct, wasn't it? But the car pace at the start of the season was pretty even, if not Ferrari slightly in ascendancy.
Let's head to Baku then, Jamie. Of course, obviously, we have got a bit of news ready for the weekend. The big one, of course, is that Kevin Magnussen, we spoke about this in the last show, and we kind of knew exactly this was going to be the case, didn't we? But obviously, he's going to be replaced by Ollie Bearman. Mm-hmm. I found out as well, what's mad is pretty much every single driver ban since the mid-90s has either happened at the Italian Grand Prix or gone into effect for the Italian Grand Prix.
That's
it's bizarre.
Mad. Yeah. Yeah, well, the most recent one was Grosjean, wasn't it? From Belgium into Italy.
Yep.
D'Ambrosio replaced him, if I remember rightly. And
it was.
Yeah, the one before that, I don't even know. Was that Yuji
Ide? I think it was Schumacher.
I guess he just got his license revoked, didn't he?
Yeah, he was just banned instantly. No, I think it was Schumacher, because you had like three in 1994. It was all a little bit weird. No, Felipe Massa. I tell a lie. Felipe Massa.
Really?
2003, I believe. Because he got the penalty at Monza, and then Sauber tricked them because it was only applied to the driver at the next Grand Prix, not to the driver at their next Grand Prix. So he just sat out at Indy, and then obviously just got straight back in the car for the next round, and nothing therefore happened.
Wow.
But yeah, Felipe Massa, 2003, if I'm not mistaken, was the last driver banned before that. But yeah, obviously Ollie Bearman's going to be replacing him. Bearman, not a bad driver at Baku. Took pole all the way back in 2023 in F2 there with broken steering, which is
quite
impressive.
I'm worried because this is probably Hülkenberg's worst track. And he's going to be on...
You think he's going to get so
Everyone's going to be on such his back if he doesn't beat Bearman this weekend.
Oh, well, he should wipe the floor with him, surely. I mean, the thing is, though, if Bearman does well here... I'm not saying it's out of the realms of possibility that Magnussen won't come back. And I don't think it's a Magnussen and Haas have fallen out or anything, because I genuinely think they're really happy with how he's done this year.
Yeah.
I think it's more... Yeah, you know, it's why I don't think Magnussen's too phased about it either way, because he's not on the grid next year, is he?
And he got a point.
He got
more penalty points than real points, but he's still got a 10th place
in
Italy, so he's quite happy.
Exactly. But I think, honestly, at this point, he's kind of the mindset now of... The team gave me another chance, but I never thought I'd come back to Formula One anyway. I've had two more fun years with it. I think he's got a lot of respect. I think there's a lot of mutual respect between him and Haas.
Mm-hmm.
That they kind of both know for next year it's not the best case scenario. And it wouldn't surprise me if he kind of... If Bearman has a good race, you know, whether he's close to the points or gets a point or something like that. Whether he kind of goes, look guys, let's call it here. You know, I get to finish my career with a point...
And a race ban.
You know, that kind of thing.
That's very Kevin Magnussen.
a bit like Jenson Button with his penalties. You know, you kind of think, I want to do what's best for you guys because you've given me opportunities again and again in this sport.
I don't think he's that selfless, personally.
Really?
I think you don't give him enough credit. I mean, I'm not saying he's a nasty guy, but F1 drivers only get to F1 by being pretty selfish throughout their whole career. So
he's not going to just walk beside...
I mean, it would be hilarious because then you've got, you know, the notorious duo of Magnussen and Grosjean just ending their careers in such a Magnussen and Grosjean way.
Oh, yeah.
With Magnussen getting banned
in a fireball.
And Grosjean's last race being a massive fireball and near-death experience. But, yeah, glad to see him walk away from that. And hopefully, I mean, I would like to see Magnussen come back for the rest of the season just because it gives Hülkenberg an easy ride. So... That's
well, let's not forget as well, Magnussen's then going to have 7 races with no penalty points on his license.
Yeah,
and
if Hülkenberg's in need of a point, then Magnussen will do whatever it takes to get it for him.
I mean, it's kind of wild, isn't it, when you think, why on earth are either Haas driver trying anymore?
It's true, but
it's just weird, isn't it?
It's professionalism, isn't it? So,
Oh, yeah. At the end of the day, you want to drive the best you can as well. Given occasion.
But yeah, so, Baku is probably Hülkenberg's worst track. I always dread coming and watching this race as a Hülkenberg fan because, you often end up with him in a wall when he's on for a podium twice in a row back in 17 and 18. So that was not fun.
That brings us kind of into our quiz. I'm going to shoehorn it in there.
Okay.
We're going to wind the clock even further back, Jamie, than 2017.
Okay.
We're going to go back to the inaugural Azerbaijan Grand Prix, European Grand Prix, back in 2016. Your quiz today, there's no time limit to it, so okay. I think you can already guess what it's going to be.
Just name the order.
You have got to name me every driver that scored a point. But if you get one wrong, it's over. You don't have to do it in order.
This is a good
season.
You
just have to name me the 10-point scorers.
As you can tell from what's behind me, I quite like 2016 as a season. So
You did.
The race winner was Nico Rosberg.
Yes, correct. Fun fact, Jamie, quickly before you continue, can you name me the only ever repeat winner in Baku? We did this as a quiz on the community tab last week.
I know that for the first, 6 years, there wasn't any. So, wasn't it Sergio Perez?
Sergio Perez is the only repeat winner of the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
Crazy.
Sorry, I'll let you carry on.
Yeah, second was Sebastian Vettel.
Correct.
German 1-2. Third place was Sergio Perez. In the fourth
was that the last German 1-2? No, there was probably another one in 16, wasn't there? Since then. Since then? Trying to think, Germany's got no.
Well, Rosberg retired. Hülkenberg's never had a podium, as we know. So that probably could have been the last German 1-2. It would have only been in 16. And I don't think Vettel finished second that much because he didn't win any races. So.
No, he didn't. Did he?
Fourth place.
Sorry, who? So you've got
third
Rosberg
was Perez.
And Vettel.
I got the top three.
It was correct.
Well, Hamilton finished fifth.
Correct. So that's
fourth. Fourth was Kimi Raikkonen.
Correct, that's five.
Now, this could be problematic. Cause...
Like I said, you don't have to do it in order.
No,
you
I don't
just
have to
get
order,
the drivers.
But 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th in 2016. Because you've got the likes of the Williams drivers are probably in there somewhere. I might just fall on my sword here. I'm going to say Hülkenberg. I think he got low points.
Correct, yep. He did. He came 9th. A 6.
The Red Bulls are probably around there too. Maybe it was just the Williams and Red Bulls. I don't think the Toro Rossos would have got any. Or the Haas. Well, it could have been Grosjean maybe, but I won't say that. I will say, just play it safe, Valtteri Bottas.
Correct, he came 6th.
Felipe Massa.
Correct, he came 10th.
So we're missing 9th.
You're missing 7th and 8th.
7th and 8th. I'll just go for the two Red Bulls, Ricardo Verstappen.
Bang on!
There we go.
10 out of 10. It was only when we were going through that, so I thought, actually, it's a really bad
You've
quiz.
You've asked me to name the top five teams.
It was just the big five teams from that year.
Yeah, well.
You mentioned the Toro Rossos. Quite interestingly, actually, I noticed during my research for this quiz, both of them had suspension failures.
Wow.
Separate points in the Grand Prix,
that
which is
odd.
Quite impressive.
Yeah. I believe that was... probably Hülkenberg's one of his only points at Baku ever, because he is genuinely not very good there. And
he's
17,
pretty terrible there.
17,
well,
18,
when you think
crashed.
When you think Perez finished 25 seconds off the win, Hülkenberg was almost a minute behind his teammate.
Yeah, he went out in Q1 because he crashed in qualifying.
he went out in
well.
Q2, he was P12.
Q2, sorry. Perez qualified in the front row that race and had a 5-place penalty and still got a podium.
He did. Yeah, but Force India were probably legitimately the second fastest car that weekend.
Probably were.
And Hülkenberg could still only come P9.
Well, he's not very good at Baku, so...
Just not very good when he's got a good car.
Got to allow it.
You did well there. You did very well.
Thank you. Yeah, his only ever points finish at Baku was the first one.
Wow. That is insane. I mean, could he return to the points, Jamie?
Yeah.
The first time in almost a decade.
He's
going to
finish P8. Let's go.
He's going to finish P8, you reckon, this weekend.
Yeah, there'll be some chaos.
Fair
Hamilton
enough.
Will crash.
I like it. Why will Hamilton crash?
He'll get taken out by somebody. Probably Perez.
Fair enough. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, surely this is going to be where Perez returns to winning form. Becomes
winning.
That 8th winner of the year.
Becomes the only driver to win 3 races at Baku.
Exactly, yeah.
I
extends his margin.
That.
I mean, if anything, when you look at the data, Sergio Perez is the dominant driver at Baku.
Yeah, he's got
to
be odds on favourite.
He owns these streets. Surely, yeah. If you stick a fiver on him, you're going to win £5.10 if he comes out. Actually, what, Jamie, you always do the betting odds. What are the betting odds for Sergio Perez this weekend?
Race winner, Baku.
I would genuinely be intrigued odds. To know.
I reckon he's about 25-1, genuinely. Let's have a look.
Actually, that can't be a bad punt.
Verstappen is fourth favourite. That's mad.
Yep.
Perez is eighth favourite, as you would expect.
Yep.
Yeah, he's about 25-1.
Oh, fair enough. That's not bad.
Labrick's at 50-1. Have that. There you go.
Oh, baby. I'm going to win me some cash.
I wouldn't recommend betting, especially if you're not over 18.
No. It's illegal if you bet under the age of 18 in this country, Jamie. So wise words there. I never have in my life.
I've never put my own money in, but I have won a free bet and used that. But yeah,
fair enough. Actually, I tell a lie. I bet on horse racing a few weeks ago. I won £40 from a £2 bet, and I still don't know how.
Did you keep that £40, or did you rebet it and lose it?
No, I kept it.
Oh, well done. You probably were the only people in the world to have made money from gambling.
I've made money from both gambling and McDonald's Monopoly as well. Fun fact.
Wow.
I bought fries once, won £20 credit. I can't even remember where it was. And never bought anything again, so
wow,
there we are.
There you go.
I'm cheating the system. Or winning the system.
Winning it, yeah.
I guess. Fantastic. What else? There's not really a lot else to talk about, is there, Jamie? It's been quite a quiet week. Apart from, I guess, predictions?
Yeah, very quickly. Who's driving the Haas at the next race after Baku? Behrman or Magnussen?
I'm going to say... Oh, you know, I've said it this show. It's probably not right, but I'm going to say Behrman. Why not?
Fair. You're a mug. It's going to be Magnussen.
Well, I'm only saying that. I'm going to have to double down on what I said earlier on. True. So we're going with
fair
it.
Fair play. The Sauber seat is the only one available.
Oh, yes.
Which is a shame for every driver who's not currently got a seat.
It's not the only one available. There's still a V-carb seat next to Sonoma.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll go to Lawson, if you ask me. I think Perez will get
dropped. I hope it's Lawson.
Ricardo will come in at the end of the season to Red Bull.
I didn't even really thought about Perez going, alarmingly. I suppose there's Red Bull as well. Do you think Ricciardo's going to get the Red Bull seat? Surely not.
I think he will, but it won't do anything.
Surely not.
He won't do anything in that Red Bull seat, but he's not Sergio Perez, so that'll please everyone.
Well, not the Mexicans, it won't.
Yeah, but, you know. I'll stop myself there. But yeah, the Sauber seat, who's it going to? We've got a load of options. Basically, name
Have
a driver.
We?
Well, in my head, you've got, obviously, Bottas. The hopium in me says Joe, but obviously not.
It's not going to be Joe, man. Get over it.
You've got
such an idiot.
Bortoletto, McLaren Jr.
Apparently.
Zane Maloney, who is Sauber Jr.
Apparently.
Teo Pourchaire, Sauber Jr.
That's the one either him or Bottas is what I want to see.
Felipe not Drugovich. Schwartzman.
Robert Schwartzman
is the other
Felipe Schwartzman.
Yeah. Is the other one?
I don't think Schwartzman's in the show.
He's done FP1.
He did FP1, but he did one FP1, Jamie. But that was more for Ferrari than anything else.
Fair. Well,
that was just for Ferrari. I'm pretty certain. I mean, he can't really come into Formula One, can he? Unfortunately, because he's got two passports, and they're Russian and Israeli, which is quite unlucky for him as a person. But not really a good stand.
He's going to struggle with that. He could enter as independent, but I'm not sure that's allowed, is it?
No, I don't think you can. I mean, could you
race
as like the
had
FIA?
No flag, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was never going to really stay there. He was pretty much guaranteed immediately he wasn't going to be there, wasn't it? Because obviously we had all that stuff a few weeks ago, didn't we, with Ural Kali back at Zandvoort?
Yeah, they impounded all the Haas stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, Dutch court. Because, of course, the Dutch will deal with all that dodgy stuff.
Yep, goodbye to our Dutch viewers.
If you were to put money on it right now, Jamie, who would you say is in that second Sauber, Audi, whatever we're calling it, seat next year?
I think if Bortoletto wins the championship, he'll get it. Wins the F2 championship.
I'm going to say Bottas.
I don't
think Bortoletto's going to win F2, though.
I think if Bortoletto doesn't win F2, it will be Bottas.
I think Audi are going to be... I feel like Audi next year... Obviously, because it's going to be one fresh face in Hülkenberg. I think they just want stability still, because that team is just sinking at the moment. I think they basically just want to know that they've got two drivers that if they say, right, we want to pump this amount of money into it, what do we need to focus on? That you've got two drivers there that can tell you what you need to do that have experience with different teams.
It'd be a combined age of 72 if you got Hülkenberg and Bottas.
Actually, that's not that insane for Formula One, is it?
No, it's not
good,
too bad.
But it's not that insane. I mean, surely, yeah, Aston Martin can't be far behind that.
Oh,
they've got to be
high
60s. No, they've got to be high 60s, surely.
Oh, yeah, probably. Alonso's 42? Yeah. 42,
43. Stroll's got to be, what, 25, 26?
Lance Strulovic. He's 25, yeah. So, what's that?
So, what, 68? 67,
68? Yeah.
There you go. So, it's not that insane. I mean, fair. Mercedes next year aren't going to be a million miles away either. They're
going
to be
sort of
66, aren't they? Sorry, not Mercedes, Ferrari even. I'm thinking of Lewis. I'm always thinking of Lewis.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up then, Jamie. Let's do predictions as our final little bit. What are the scores on the door?
You're
seriously
battering
head to back
me. It needs to be a big
I'm slapping it this year and I love it.
Where are our scores? So you're on 61, I'm on 53. That's absolutely shocking.
Oh, a perfect weekend required for Jamie to even get back in the fight.
Yeah. I will say Charles Leclerc on pole.
Damn!
I'll say Lando Norris to win the race.
Okay.
Oscar Piastri, P2. And Charles Leclerc, P3. I have given up on that call. And it's going to be curtains from
here. I like it. I'm going to have to obviously go alternate then. I'm going to say Lando Norris pole. I want to say Lando for the win, but I don't really feel like I can necessarily. I'm going to say Charles Leclerc win.
Back to
just,
back.
I want to go different. I got a bit of leeway here. I'm going to go a bit different. I'm going to say the Lando P2. I'm basically trying to script it so we're going to get a three-way title fight from three different teams, which would be brilliant. P3, I'm going to say... I don't really want to say... Oscar. Ollie Bearman in the Haas. If he gets a podium for Haas instantly...
In his first race
next
to Hülkenberg.
Incredible.
I would be fuming.
Incredible. I'm trying to think, what car's been good in the straight?
Mercedes?
I mean, it has... Mercedes were there or thereabouts. You know what? I'm going to say he's never really got on too well with the track, but I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton. Hamilton, bizarrely, has never deserved to win at Baku.
Has anyone won?
It's quite mad, isn't it? I mean, he's only won one, and Bottas
should have
won.
Well, he deserved to win in 2017, to be fair, but he didn't.
Yeah, he did, actually.
Because he forgot to fit his headrest properly. So.
Well, he didn't.
No, some of the team did. And he brake checked Vettel as well, the cheat.
Even though it was confirmed he never actually touched the brake, didn't he? Which is incredible. I love the way you still see Vettel fans to this day trying to say that
crying
was still
about
on purpose.
2017-2018 era
when
was so funny.
There's literal data that supports that Hamilton never even touched the brake.
Vettel should have brake checked at the hairpin in Germany a year later, shouldn't he?
He should have broke a bit more. Yeah. That's what he should have done, but yeah. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie, now we've upset every Vettel fan in the world?
Don't think so. Let me have a quick look at
X. I think we've done pretty well.
X, sorry.
Oh, no. The worst social media platform in the world.
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
No. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourself a subscriber. At 722 subscribers. We're slowly but surely getting our way to that 1,000 mark as well. But yeah, we'll be back next week, ready to review... as Ollie Bearman wins his debut race for Haas.